Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's list season. This is what we usually will be arguing about. But we're not arguing about it right now because soccer is here. I'm sure we'll get back to arguing about soccer coming up in a bit. But for right now, this is what we got. So ESPN, every year, they do a list where every day they give you the top 10 ranking at an individual position. So there are 70 people that are asked to vote. It's media, coaches, general managers, scouts, etc. This is one of my favorite off-season things. I really like this, Rob, and then I like the Mike Sando ESPN athletic piece about the quarterback tier. Those are two of my favorite off-season things that we have. So let's go down the list because we are three into this, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Monday, they started at running back. Rob, this is who they have as the top 10 running backs in the National Football League. Breece Hall is number 10. Kenneth Walker at number 9. Devon Achane at 8. James Cook at 7. Derrick Henry at 6. Top 5. Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, and number 1 on the list is Bijan Robinson. Not a single person who voted on this had Bijan ranked lower than 2. So he was 1 or 2 on everybody's list that did that. You know what? As we begin this conversation, I don't have any problem with this list. Sure, I might put one person a little bit higher than maybe they ended up on this list. But for the most part, I think this is a pretty strong list. And it goes to, Rob, I think a disagreement that you and I have about what adding one of these running backs mean to your team. Now, I'm not here to tell you that I think Kenneth Walker is Devon Achane, or that I think he's Christian McCaffrey, but to be a top 10 running back, according to the people that do this, and certainly one of the better running backs in the National Football League, is a noticeable difference, I think, for their offense. And I think it will be something very tangible that you will see the effect that it has on their offense, and more specifically, and just open things up in terms of passing lane and pressure on the wide receivers on the outside. I've always liked the Kenneth Walker move. I continue to like the Kenneth Walker move. We'll go through how they kind of described him a little bit. But Kenneth Walker coming in at number 9. But back to the whole list, I don't really have a problem with this list. There's not really much for me to argue about when it comes to it.
I actually don't have much argument either. I don't know I have Kenneth Walker as a top 10 back, but I think he's like 11, 12. So, like, there's no point in splitting
hairs. He's in that range, for sure.
He's right. If they had him at like 7 or 5, I'd have qualms. That list is probably right off the
top
of my head.
These are the honorable mention guys. So Josh Jacobs came in at 11th. Kyren Williams was at 12. Quinshon Judkins was at 13, followed by DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, he's in right in that category.
I think that's a fair way of assessing his game. He's somewhere in that range. Now, I will say, I do think there's a noticeable difference between him and Devon Achane. Like, Achane is at 8, Kenneth Walker is at 9. I'd rather have Devon Achane than have Kenneth Walker. That wasn't the conversation, but I would say that's maybe where you start to see the gap, where these guys, I would say, are all noticeably better than him. James Cook, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor up. I think that's a different tier of running back than where I see Kenneth Walker, but I still think he's going to be a very productive running back. So, good. We don't have to argue about that. So, second day was cornerback. Here's the list that they had. Number 10.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
In on the cornerback list was Cooper DeJean. Number 9 was Sauce Gardner. Number 8 was J.C. Horn. Number 7 was Denzel Ward. 6 was Quinyon Mitchell. 5, Trent McDuffie. 4 was Devon Witherspoon with the Seahawks. 3 was Christian Gonzalez. 2 was Derek Stingley Jr. And number 1 was Patrick Surtain II for the second consecutive year. He was ranked number 1 on their list. Also going to say, maybe this doesn't make it a too compelling of a segment. I don't really have much of an issue with that list. I think that's it. Now, I will say this, and maybe this is where we get to the compelling part, is the perception about Trent McDuffie outside of Kansas City is radically different than the conversation people are having about him on the list. Last year, Trent McDuffie was 4 on the list. He's 5 on the list. Somebody on their ballot ranked him as number 3 on the list. There is a perception in McDuffie that he is one of the 5 best corners in the National Football League. I don't really know if in Kansas City a lot of people feel like Trent McDuffie is one of the 5 best corners in the league. Somebody is right, somebody is wrong on this thing. I'm just here, I'm the messenger here. And I'm telling you that the football people love him. One of the quotes, he is one of the top coverage corners in the league. He can cover on the perimeter or in the slot, can play man or zone, pressure the quarterback, play cover 2, jam and reroute. He has plus zone vision. We also saw what he went for. He also went for a pretty decent package. Another player described him as an outstanding open field tackler who is always in position to make the play. You're going to have to beat him because he won't beat himself. I do feel like Trent McDuffie is a very, very solid corner that doesn't have a lot of holes in his game. And when you look at a lot of these corners at that level, there's a lot that you can kind of pick holes in. I feel like he has fewer weaknesses than most.
I understand maybe a little bit why Chiefs fans were so fine getting rid of him and so, hey, it's time to move on and all the things. I understand it. I think it's born out of the fact that Brett Veach just keeps finding them. He keeps finding elite corners. They play elite here. They move on. That has been the system. So I understand why Chiefs fans were cool with moving on. But the amount of arguments we had with the text line last December, January, February, ahead of his trade, that was like, he's probably a top 5, top 6 corner in the league, and everyone went out of their way, fell over themselves to point out his flaws, will always puzzle me. He is an elite corner. Is he Surtain? No. But he is definitely one of the better tier 2 corners in the NFL, and I'm happy he's getting his kudos. 4 or 5 is about right in the NFL for Trent McDuffie.
Let me ask you these 2 questions related to this conversation. You remember that line on Coming to America where Eddie Murphy is just like, you know, I want to find out what you like. And the woman's like, whatever it is you like. I feel like there was a time there, that's kind of how Chiefs fans were acting with Brett Veach. That whatever Brett Veach valued, you valued. You remember there was a time where it was our number one priority is to protect Patrick Mahomes. All of our resources need to be into protecting Patrick Mahomes. So we were throwing a bunch of money at left tackle, a bunch of money at center, a bunch of money at right guard. And even though, Rob, you and I were arguing that we didn't like the position value, the sentiment was we got to protect Patrick Mahomes. I feel like if Brett Veach's mantra was we pay corners, I feel like the Chiefs kingdom would have been on the side of paying corners, but we know what their model is. That's not what they spend their money on. The Chiefs spend their money on certain things. You can't argue that they don't. They spend their money on the offensive line. They spend money on the defensive line. They spend money at quarterback. They're very aggressive in certain situations. At corner, they've told you repeatedly, that's not something that we think is worth paying for, which leads us back to the delaying conversation. I've got a question related to that, but I do wonder how much of the Trent McDuffie conversation just stemmed from Chiefs fans knowing that this was never going to be a long-term arrangement. This was never going to be a long-term situation because Brett Veach has never shown you that is a position that he's willing to pay. Where if Trent McDuffie played right guard, they would have made him one of the 10 highest paid offensive linemen in the league.
Do you think, I agree with your point. Do you think shine's starting to fade off? Because there was a time last offseason where me and you in the text line, to your point, said, yo, paying a right guard's dumb. And we were absolutely crushed. This offseason, you talk about Brett Veach in the text line, it's a little more mixed. Not everyone's just falling in line the same way they used to.
Also coming off 6-11.
That's fair.
Let them start winning again and Shine's let them back. Start off 7-2. Oh, you won't be able to argue anything about Brett Veach. You know how it goes. It's the motion. It's the up and down.
To be fair, though, they're 3-4, and that
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's getting fired. He's getting fired on the text line. Man. Yeah, he's getting fired. He's getting fired, and the scheme also doesn't work. We know that. We know that much. Those two things are going to happen. This is my Mansoor Delane question. Where does he have to be on this list by the end of year two? I ask that question because if you spend the sixth overall pick on a cornerback, he needs to be considered to be one of the best. If you were telling me that you spent the sixth overall pick on a corner, the league needs to see him the way they see Cooper DeJean. The league thinks Cooper DeJean is very good. 23 years old, he's on this top 10 list. The league needs to see him the way they see Sauce Gardner or J.C. Horn or Denzel Ward or Quinyon Mitchell. I'm not saying he needs to be Patrick Surtain. I think Patrick Surtain one day is going to go into the Hall of Fame. I think he is the best cornerback of his era. I think he's that good. But they need to look at him the way they look at Quinyon Mitchell. They need to look at him as being one of those kind of guys. He needs to be on this list by the end of year two. Not by the end of year one, but halfway through that rookie deal and a year before we start having the conversation about the option, he needs to be widely considered by his peers as one of the 10 best corners in the National Football League.
Let me ask you this. Does he need to pass McDuffie at some point? Because I know that it wasn't a one-for-one. I'm aware that wasn't a one-for-one
trade. Yeah, I get the question that you're asking.
Because, like, if it's a top 10 list in 2028, and he's at that point where you said, and he's six, and he checks that box.
I don't think people are going to be mad if he's Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay. Even if McDuffie turns into number three on the list.
Yeah, I don't think people are rating it in that way. Like, I think people see Quinyon Mitchell as a dog and think that he can be a true number one that can match up with just about anybody. Quinyon Mitchell is somebody you would want to pay. Like, even if the perception is that Quinyon Mitchell isn't the player that Trent McDuffie is, if you're telling me that's who he turns into, if you're telling me Mansoor Delane is the exact same player that Quinyon Mitchell is, I will be advocating for the Chiefs to pay him. I will be advocating that it's time to open up the piggy bank, and you spent all of this draft pick compensation on this guy. You got a 24-year-old corner who's one of the best young corners in the league. You need to pay him. That is the side that I will be on. Now, there is one more of these top 10 lists. They concluded this with pass rush. Now, let me tell you, there ain't no Chiefs names on here. Shouldn't come as a shock to any of you.
No way.
Rob, they're not even an honorable mention. They're not even an honorable mention or others receiving votes. Now, I think that Chris Jones is going to be in a different conversation. They're going to have one specifically for D tackles. I do think Chris Jones will obviously be on that list. He's one of the top 10 defensive tackles in the NFL. Pass rush is a different beast. They gave a lot of money to a dude that the NFL is somewhat lukewarm on. I mean, I'm looking at the guys they gave others receiving votes to. I mean, Trayvon Walker is in the others receiving votes. Your guy, Jalen Phillips, is in the others receiving votes. Montez Sweat, like, we don't even got to get to these top dudes. Y'all already know that's not what George Karlaftis is. Like, here's the top 10 list. Nick Benito, Brian Burns, Nick Bosa, TJ Watt, Danielle Hunter, Aiden Hutchinson, Max Crosby, Will Anderson, Micah Parsons, and number one on this list, you guys can all imagine, Myles Garrett. Every single person who filled out the survey had Myles Garrett as the best pass rusher in the National Football League. There's no shock. I actually think that Myles Garrett is the best player in the league, regardless of position. But that's a different conversation we don't have to dive into.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.